Good morning. President Bebout, Speaker Harshman, members of the 64th Legislature, Auditor Cloud, Treasurer Gordon, Superintendent Balow, Chief Justice Burke, members of the Judiciary, members of the military, veterans, fellow citizens, my family, good morning. Today I give my eighth and final State of the State address, and in preparing it, I've had a lot of thoughts, and including the Speaker and President have been kidding me in recent days that it's too bad. It takes about 8 years to train a governor, and just when you get them trained, they leave. But I'm reminded it was a couple of years ago when the President of the Senate then, President Nicholas, when he was announcing me, rather than saying His Excellency, he said, the executioner. And so it takes a while to train a speaker and president, too. What a privilege it's been to appear before a joint session each year and talk about Wyoming, the state we love. I believe our work these past 7 years has built a better legacy and a solid bridge to the future. We have one more year together, a little less, and I look forward to a great year. I want my last State of the State address to begin with tributes to those who work so hard for Wyoming. In past years, I've identified select individuals to acknowledge, but today I want to start with the Wyoming Legislature. I thank you, Wyoming Legislature, for working with me in a cooperative spirit for the betterment of our state. Since territorial days, the people of Wyoming have counted on leaders to move this state forward, and the legislature delivers. As citizen legislators, you generously give your time, your skill, your sweat, not just during the session, but year-round for Wyoming. You leave your families, leave your place of work, leave the comforts of home, not for personal gain, but out of a sense of duty, concern for and love of this state and our people. To members of the Wyoming House and Senate who are currently serving or who have served during my tenure as governor, I say thank you. I applaud you for your service and ask the audience to join me. Chief Justice Burke, to you and all our judges, I want to say it's been an honor working alongside the judicial branch and an honor to appoint great judges in our merit-based selection process. Over the past 7 years, I've appointed about half the state judiciary, that is, Supreme Court, District Court, and Circuit Court judges. The merit selection process is important because it's based upon qualifications and experience, it is apolitical, and it results in great judges. Our justice, yes, it does. Our justices at the Supreme Court and the judges on federal courts and around the state are committed to our communities, state, and people. They're committed to a well-functioning justice system, access to justice for everyone, and the rule of law. Let's thank them all for what they do. It's been a pleasure working with the other statewide elected officials who are here today, especially on the boards, the State Loan Investment Board, State Board of Land Commissioners that we serve together on. Auditor Cloud, it seems like it was just yesterday, but it's been 7+ years now. State Superintendent and Treasurer, I thank you for your service to the state of Wyoming, and I've enjoyed the privilege of working with all three of you. Thank you. I recognize the Eastern Shoshone and Northern Arapaho tribes today. We are neighbors and we are friends. We care about each other. Working with the tribes is important and we must continue to work together. The tribal justice system is also important, and I note that John St. Clair, the chief judge of the tribal court, is retiring. Judge St. Clair has been on the bench for 30 years, and I recognize him this morning for his long service and his commitment to tribal court. Thank you. With recent budget constraints, the two tribal liaison positions in the governor's office became part-time. Cy Lee is the liaison for the Northern Arapaho Tribe. He also serves as an amazing member of the Ndaw Executive Council. And I would ask if the liaisons and members of both tribes joining us today would please stand. We welcome all of you here in these chambers. As always, it's my privilege to recognize the Wyoming National Guard today. The Guard had a busy, productive year in 2017. Every year, they are busy and they're productive. They remain busy. Currently, 198 of our Guard are deployed, joined recently by 15 for security for the next couple of weeks at the Winter Olympics in South Korea. Seeing the work of the Guard at home, and I've traveled to visit our troops in Cuba, Bahrain, Kosovo, Qatar, Afghanistan. I've seen too many deployments and welcome homes to count. I can share with you, without a doubt, Wyoming Guard is the best of the best. In 1899, Wyoming Governor Richard said of those who serve in our military, they have so conducted themselves under all circumstances as to entitle them to the honor than which there is none higher of being called true American soldiers. General Luke Reiner, please stand so we can show our appreciation to you and the Guard, who without a doubt are true American soldiers. I recognize our veterans today. Award 47,000 veterans live in Wyoming. Our country would not be what it is, strong and free, and we'd not be able to live freely as we do without them. I thank our vets and the people who support them. And I thank those currently serving in the U.S. Armed Forces and the people who support them. We've made progress these past 7 years. Veterans Welcome Home Day legislation, I-25 Vietnam Veterans Highway designation, more veteran service officers, expanded programs and services. I have been to 24 Wyoming Veterans Welcome Home Day ceremonies in communities all around the state, going to some more in a couple of months. These are great occasions. They're very patriotic. They're very personal. On these occasions, I am so proud. I live in a patriotic state that values and respects our veterans. There's something else we can consider for our vets. Wyoming needs a skilled nursing center for them. We are the only state that does not have this service. In my mind, it's a benefit our veterans have earned, and it's time Wyoming delivered the service. The trains don't run on time without the hard work and care of state employees. I'm proud of the work of our state employees and the agency's directors, and I want to thank them for their service. Finally, I recognize the many volunteers who've served on boards, commissions, and task forces during my tenure. As many of you know, we have so many people from Wyoming who volunteer and step up, and they do a tremendous amount of work for the benefit of our state. And when they work and they work and they reach great things and do great things, every year I double their salary. For those you're not familiar, they make no money. When I hand the keys of the governor's office to someone else in January 2019, I'll leave the premises with gratitude to the voters who gave me the opportunity to serve, with admiration for legislative, judicial, and executive branch employees who serve the state so well, and with knowledge that I leave a framework for important work to continue. As I look back to January 2011, when I took office, I see we have much to celebrate. We have smaller government. That is, we have smaller budget, fewer employees, and fewer rules and regulations. While we have downsized government, we have built our permanent and rainy day savings. We consolidated technology services in one place, ETS, creating buying power and efficiencies. For example, where state agencies had different email systems in the past, the state now has one. We have made long-term policies that will serve Wyoming for many years with an energy strategy, water strategy, 10 and 10, forest health and outdoor recreation task force recommendations, and now the Endow initiative. A lot has been achieved already under these policies. Just a few examples: baseline water testing, the NREX data tool, orphan well plugging, continuing efforts to establish a pipeline corridor, the Forest Collaborative Assistance Program, Play Clean Go, and development of Uniform Hydrographers Operation Manual. I'm pleased to report the first five of the 10 and 10 projects already have start dates for construction. Because these are long-term strategy, there is more to come, and I'm pleased to see the legislature considering Senate File 14, which provides a statutory framework for continuation of the energy strategy. One of my top priorities, as many of you know, has been growing technology, and we have done so with a state 100 gigabit unified network that has doubled the national standards for connectivity to schools. It is the envy of many states. We have not only connected fiber, but also provided a connection for many of our industry experts by starting and growing an annual technology summit and an annual broadband summit. These efforts will continue to bear fruit. We can celebrate, while many said it couldn't be done, the delisting of grizzlies and wolves and the non-listing of sage grouse. Endangered species are a tough issue. As chairman of Western Governors in 2015-16, my initiative was to improve the Endangered Species Act. We have moved forward. The Western Governors approved a resolution. We got it through the National Governors. It's now going to be considered by Congress, and I believe there's a real opportunity this year, for the first time in many, many years, to have changes in the Endangered Species Act at the national level. Wyoming loves wildlife, and we've been doing a good job managing wildlife, and we must never lose our leadership role in doing so. We must continue our conservation work, leveraging and building the Wildlife Natural Resource Trust. When it comes to federal overreach, I think we've fought the good fight. The Attorney General's office has been very busy these past years, and in fact, so busy I'm occasionally criticized for being too litigious, but I like the word litigious. At my request, the AG's office has defended state boundaries in the EPA Riverton case. The state attorneys have fought a federal hydraulic fracturing rule, a flawed WOTUS rule, federal regional haze plan for our state, litigation for a coal terminal in Oregon, a BLM venting and flaring rule, and the Clean Power Plan. These are only a bit of the many cases our wonderful attorney general and his office have been involved in since I took office. We have taken on other difficult issues that are important, including bullying, homelessness, and suicide prevention. Safe to Tell was launched in October 26, 2016. From then to mid-January 2018, we've received 889 tips. The highest number of reports were for suicide threats. The second and third highest were reports of bullying and drugs. One district reported they knew they had saved two students' lives in the first 2 months they had the program in place by being able to intervene. These are just two of many stories of the importance of the successful program. In 2015, we released a Home for Everyone, the state's 10-year plan to address homelessness. We must keep pursuing the aspiration expressed in the plan's title. With respect to suicide, as many of you know, the rate in Wyoming has been high for decades, very high. Many reasons are cited: high altitude, rural setting, insufficient resources, isolation, illness. There's many reasons. In 2013, I brought up this issue in my State of the State, trying to take the stigma away and bring it to the forefront of our conscience. In 2015, State of the State, I talked about renewed focus on suicide prevention and a statewide initiative which included employee training. In 2016, I started an annual suicide symposium. The third symposium will be held this spring. The symposium brings suicide to the forefront of public attention. The human toll in terms of lives lost and families shattered, of course, is at the center. Health programs and prevention are also part of the suicide agenda, symposium agenda. We have to, in Wyoming, recognizing the seriousness of the problem, to keep adequate resources at work on suicide prevention, bullying, and homelessness. We must also stay abreast of the opioid crisis. The good news in Wyoming, we're doing better than most. A study of the last 2.5 years shows drug overdose deaths increasing in the U.S. as a whole, but decreasing in Wyoming. It is good that overdose deaths are declining in our state, but it remains the case that in Wyoming, prescription painkillers are a leading form of drug abuse in 12 to 25-year-olds. Last November, I signed a proclamation for the kickoff of the Wyoming Prescription Abuse Stakeholders Educational Campaign, They Didn't Know, which will educate teenagers and young adults about prescription drug misuse and abuse. The Wyoming Abuse Stakeholders, RAS, is working to do just that. It's a capable group, and they should continue their good work with legislative support. In the last 7 years, we've never lost sight of trying to improve Wyoming and the services provided to our citizens. Despite a period of diminished revenue, the trimming of the budget, and increasing our savings, we've continued to invest in Wyoming's future. The Capitol Square project was started years ago. It'll have ups and downs like any major building project, but it's proceeding nicely, and in the long run, it's all positive. The Capitol is the most important building in Wyoming. It's inspiring to look at. It's inspiring to visit. It is a repository of our history, past, present, and future. The legislature, well before I came into office, began setting aside funding for the Capitol. It's important for us to continue that work. Other important projects that have moved along include the University of Wyoming Engineering Education and Research Building, the NZ STEM Building, the Integrated Test Center, the High Bay Research Facility, the UW Science Initiative, and many wonderful community college projects. So proud of the Integrated Test Center, funded with state and private resources, became fully operational at the end of 2017 and is ready for XPRIZE teams. This cutting-edge facility in Gillette makes Wyoming a leader in advanced coal technologies, allowing Wyoming to be a continued leader not only in coal production, but coal technology. Funds have been appropriated for the science initiative. I'm a big supporter of this initiative and requested the release of the last of the funding in my budget message. Joint Appropriations approved the release of funding in mid-January, and UW now has approved the final design of the science initiative building. We've tackled many other projects. Just on schools, which I remind you all in 2011, I suggested we slow down new school buildings, but we have not really. We've tackled many projects, including 57 new or replacement schools, in excess of $1 billion, 19 school renovations and additions, about $267 million, over 11,000 major maintenance projects for about $417 million. There's more we can get done, and there's more we can get done this session. The projects at the State Hospital in Evanston and the Life Resource Center in Lander have been well planned, are important projects, and in my mind, must move forward to construction now. As I've said before, and I say again today, investment in Wyoming is a great investment, and this body has invested in Wyoming. And my hat's off to the visionaries in this room who planned for and worked through these important projects. However, as we've invested in these projects, we must adjust to the times of constrained revenue, recognizing we cannot continue to build at the same rate, and must now focus on maintaining what we have built. My budget calls for more dollars for major maintenance, recognizing deferred maintenance is in fact deficit spending. Before I talk about the times ahead, I want to talk briefly about last year. 2017 was another year for budget reductions. Reductions have occurred in 4 of the last 8 budgets. The budgets for some agencies, for example, the Department of Health and Department of Family Services, have been cut too much. Services and programs suffer. And there are other concerns associated with overcutting, for example, in the Department of Corrections and State Fair. The 1920 budget gives an opportunity to remedy the situation, and JAC has begun that important work. To JAC members, I appreciate your work and look forward to resolving our differences in my favor. That actually wasn't in there, but that's what I'm thinking. So. Budget aside, 2017 was a year to remember for the Eclipse, increased emphasis on outdoor activities, and Endow. The Eclipse was a wonderful occasion. It was the first total solar eclipse to pass over the country since 1918. With out-of-state and international travelers, the boost to the state's economy was an estimated $63.5 million. More great events are coming. This year is the 150th anniversary of the historic Fort Bridger Treaty. Next year, on December 10th, 2019, Wyoming will celebrate the 150th anniversary of the law that gave Wyoming women the vote. In 2020, we celebrate Louisa Swain casting the first vote. We remain so very proud here in Wyoming that Wyoming was the first government in the world to grant unconditional women's suffrage. I have appointed a wonderful, hardworking council to plan commemorative events. Historic occasions like women's right to vote show the pioneering spirit that is our heritage is with us still. It is part of our identity. It is part of our strength. We put increased emphasis on outdoors last year. New shooting sports initiatives, the Wyoming Top 100 Amateur and the Governor's Match, and the Adventure Racing World Championships are examples. Hunting and shooting sports are an important part of our state's heritage. We appreciate the firearm companies that have been in Wyoming for years, as well as the ones that have moved here recently or are planning to move here. They promote sports shooting opportunities, fit with our affinity for the outdoors and Western traditions, and promote economic diversity. In January, I hope you were as excited as I was to welcome a marquee company, Weatherby Inc., to Sheridan, Wyoming. Weatherby is the latest gun manufacturer to choose a home base in Wyoming. It joins others we've recruited, including Hi-Viz and Magpul. The Cameco Cowboy Tough Race has been an annual event that we started in 2013, and in August 2017, the World Championship Adventure Race, which has a 16-year history, was for the first time ever held in the United States, right here in Wyoming. This has helped us recognize, and it has helped the Outdoor Recreation Task Force recognizing the value of promoting our great outdoors. And it has, the Outdoor Recreation Task Force has provided some great recommendations, including creating an outdoor recreation website and an Office of Outdoor Recreation within the Department of State Parks. These will create efficiency and increased exposure for the public. They're not costly to implement and fit with economic growth and diversification objectives. Last year gave us a good glimpse of the benefits that can accrue from increased tourism and outdoor recreation. We have an opportunity to do something very special this year, and that is to move forward the Wyoming Women's Antelope Hunt. Since 2013, this hunt has provided about 200 hunts, about one-third of those to hunters on scholarship attending at no cost to them, and providing nearly 60 first-time hunters a chance to hunt big game. This event teaches conservation, ethical hunting practices, and firearm safety. Senate File 3 ensures that this resource for women and conservation will continue. I ask for your support for this wonderful opportunity. The energy downturn in the past few years has made us take a hard look at our state's economy. With 70% of revenue coming from the energy sector, when the industry fell on difficult times beginning in fall 2014, our state fell on difficult times. Looking back at history, we saw Wyoming has endured a number of energy booms and busts. We saw the state has tried to diversify before, usually in periods that coincide with a single governor's time in office. And with recent growth in technology, with companies we've supported, including Microsoft, Greenhouse Data, to manufacturing like Searing Industry, McGinley Orthopedic Innovations, and others, and with outdoor industry flourishing, we saw the potential for expanding Wyoming's economic base. In fact, in my time in office with Wyoming Business Council assistance, we have recruited or partnered with numerous companies, including just a few, Hi-Viz, Tungsten, Bright Agritech, Underwriters Labs, McGinley Orthopedic Innovations, Wyoming Malt, Magpul, Searing, Melvin Brewing, Gluten Free Oats, Wyoming Authentic, Cody Labs, John Bunning Transfer, Vacutech, Weatherby, Railcar Holdings, Microsoft, and Greenhouse Data. We have had success, and we can build on this success. We also saw that diversification to be successful required a long-term plan executed over a long term. It needed to extend beyond a governor's term. Sometimes out of adversity, in our case, the recent energy downturn comes opportunity. The opportunity is the Endow Initiative. I announced the initiative in November 2016. The objective is to develop a 20-year economic strategy and then implement it over 20 years in order to grow and expand our economy. The legislature did great work last year authorizing the initiative and funded it with $2.5 million. And Endow took off in 2017. I hear the enthusiasm across the state for Endow, particularly from our young people. I also hear skepticism. We must listen to both camps, but I reject the notion that Wyoming is incapable of determining its own destiny, that our future will only be determined by commodity prices or other exterior forces. Surely the equality state, the cowboy state, has a belief in self-determination. On the state of the state, I'm pleased to report that revenue forecasts have improved since my last year's address. Specifically, revenue is better now than was forecast in early 2017 and looks even better ahead. The revenue forecast increased by $140 million from October report to the January report, just a three-month period of time. Beyond money matters, the people of Wyoming have remained steadfast during the downturn. From the leaders of our towns and counties to tourism to teachers in our schools, to the business people and families in our communities, to the ranchers and farmers, to the workers in our factories, fields, energy, and other industries, to the standouts in sports and the arts, to state and local employees, the citizens of Wyoming have kept us strong. With our great citizens, improved revenues, large savings, well-funded pension plans, investments in our future, and opportunities on the horizon, the state of our state is strong. The 1920 budget, the primary work of this session, is one of the opportunities on the horizon. Here's where we stand. Before I took office, the standard budget had doubled over the previous decade. You and I pared it back. The standard budget I proposed for the biennium is $400 million less than the standard budget 10 years ago. Over the last 2 years, about 12% has been cut from the budget. While the standard budget has been reduced, state savings have gone up. We have otherwise reduced government. I asked agencies to reduce the rules by 30%, and they responded. I eliminated 197 executive orders. We consolidated agencies and services, decreased spending, increased savings, and decreased in size the number of employees. This is remarkable because, as you know, governments tend to grow, not shrink. Wyoming has bucked the trend. By every measure, we have smaller government than 7 years ago. With one exception, the one area we're bigger, which is good news, is the money this body has allocated has built our savings. We must now work for better returns, and we must recognize, as JAC has, that we can put a lot of Wyoming dollars to work for us right now to address shortages in education. The operating budget has gotten leaner, and for some agencies like the Department of Health and Department of Family Services and a few others, the cuts, in my mind, have gone too far. Our overcutting has affected programs and services, and the people relying on them or created other concerns. We have the opportunity to right-size the budget now during this session. We never want to spend too much, and we haven't. But if we spend too little, that is a problem as well. Going back in history again and looking at the wisdom of prior governors, I found Governor Francis Warren and his thoughts regarding budgeting. He says this: while desiring to protect the Treasury and prevent extravagance of every nature, you are not required to descend to parsimony. And for those of you, don't be afraid to use Google. I used it. For the territory is abundantly able to pay ordinary and legitimate expenses and can well afford reasonable appropriations for placing before the world such reliable information as will bring within our borders additional wealth and population. It's notably true in the history of commonwealths that extravagance often follows a parsimonious policy, and that insufficient expenditures follow the unreasonable and reckless use of public funds. The golden mean between the two extremes should be your guide. Excessive appropriations and insufficient appropriations are alike a waste of money. The former because more is expended than is necessary, and the latter because the amount appropriated, not being sufficient to accomplish the purpose intended, the sum expended is of no practical benefit. Governor Warren's words over 125 years ago strike a chord today. The standard budget is below where it was 10 years ago. That's healthy. But for some agencies, it is below where it should be. Some agency programs can't achieve their intended purposes. The budget I recommended looks for the golden mean Governor Warren talked about, sufficient but not excessive appropriations. In my December proposal, I recommended $2.98 billion for the biennium. Some specific requests I have included, $105 million for local governments. As you know, I've asked for money for local governments every year. I've asked for $200,000 more for senior centers, $2.2 million to strengthen critical cybersecurity. As you all know, and certainly is true with me as I go to national governors' meeting, cybersecurity is one of the biggest issues and risks states face. And here in Wyoming, the smallest populated state, we receive about $7 million tax a month on our system. There is a need to address cybersecurity. I've also recommended paying off the capital renovation project, money for community college capital construction, restoring funds cut from the livestock board, and funds to continue the state fair. The legislature's reduction last year, $400,000, which was doubled, effectively eliminated the state fair. The state fair is part of our history and our heritage, and it's a great celebration every year in August. Wyoming Ag has, and in my view, must always be a big part of Wyoming, and the state fair is one of the best ways to continue to make sure that next generation of farmers and ranchers is out there in Wyoming. When I mention opportunities on the horizon, Endow is the top one. With the department report now in hand, I ask that the recommendations of the Endow Executive Council be funded in full. I also request and support a foreign trade representative in Taiwan. The president of Taiwan and I discussed a trade representative when we met last fall, and she was very supportive of this opportunity. I'm sure some of you saw recent reports about how Idaho is comparing to Wyoming in terms of their economy. In traveling to Taiwan, one of the things I've noted twice now is that Idaho for a long time has had a trade representative in Taiwan. You go into the high-end grocery stores in Taiwan, they're very proud to sell U.S. beef. And their high-end beef in the corners of the grocery stores is Idaho beef. We can do better. A trade representative would help us that way. By addressing barriers to diversification, by providing trade representative to Taiwan, by continuing to recruit companies to Wyoming, we move Endow forward. I note that workforce training dollars have been proposed by this body. That funding is needed to develop the skilled, educated, and prepared workforce businesses are looking for, and I support this funding. In the same vein, I support computer science, including coding in all grades. Computer science is an important classroom subject, is as important in this day and age as any. It's a requisite for our students to become life-ready, workforce-ready. Together, overall, we've done a good job investing for the future, building at UW, building at our community colleges, constructing and maintaining schools, helping our towns and counties, managing wildlife well, and in many other ways. Now we have to take the next step. We have to seize the moment. We have to invest in Endow. Diversification is the best way to keep our future bright by keeping more of our young people in Wyoming. Endow is needed now. We asked a citizen council to give a blueprint for a better, more diverse economy. The council, made up of some of the best and brightest business people and leaders, is doing that. They're looking at all the potential on the horizon, all the exciting possibilities, from important but maybe a little bit scary blockchain technology, to VTOL, to high-tech ag, from value-added energy products to tech startups. We have to listen and we have to act now. It's critically important. We haven't recovered from the last energy bust cycle, and we cannot sit around and wait for the next one. Education funding is different from the state operating budget, and it alone faces an expected shortfall for years to come. The legislature has built, with the guidance of experts, the model for education funding. While the legislature needs to address education funding, it is up to all of us to work through the difficult challenges. And as we do, we should recognize where we are doing well and where we are not. On January 17th, Education Week gave us its annual grades on states on education. Wyoming ranked 7th among the 50 states in the District of Columbia. Wyoming received an A- in school finance, ranking 1st. For K-12 achievement, Wyoming finished 21st. Facts, not anecdotal statements about our schools doing well or not, must lead the discussion. However, I do want to say, if anecdotal stories would win the day, let me just say for all the teachers that taught my kids in the school system here in Cheyenne, Carol and I thank you for the great experience and great education. And while we're at it, let's thank all our Wyoming teachers. The state has long recognized what education means. Going again to our past, Wyoming Territorial Governor Hoyt, addressing the legislature in 1879, said this about education and its importance to Wyoming. Here's his words. Without the intelligence of its people, no community may hope to maintain a free government. It augurs well for the future of the Commonwealth that at the very beginning, broad foundations were laid in the interest of education. He went on to talk about the important components of the education system, saying this: compulsory attendance, proper grad schools, to teachers, regularly organized and admirably managed institutes for the benefit of teachers, very superior school buildings. These facts speak volumes for our people and give promise of a bright future. What Governor Hoyt highlighted, Wyoming has done a good job supporting. My office stands ready to work with the legislature on this tough issue. But I say in advance, while we look to find savings, we should do nothing that lessens Wyoming's long-held view on the value of a great education. In respecting the value of education, we should not shy away from looking at reasonable reductions, nor should we shy away from looking at additional revenue and broadening our tax base. I ask this body to look again the lodging tax and tobacco tax. It's not easy to raise revenue. I know when you did it last year, it was difficult. When you did it with fees, it was difficult several years ago when we raised the fuel tax. But I would say this with regard to the lodging tax, with industry support, I believe we can reduce our general fund dollars for tourism and provide more options in areas such as education. Regarding a few other matters, the efficiency study, I think, was a great tool for us to learn from, and I support it. Looking at the adequacy of audit and revenue positions makes sense. These are positions that help collect revenue. Looking at the balance between management and staff also makes sense. We should consider, carefully consider, the merger of the Department of Family Services and the Department of Health and other areas where improving government efficiency can save dollars. As I have looked through and referenced state of the state speeches of prior governors, I have to take a moment to thank my predecessors, certainly the living former governors, Governor Friedenthal, Governor Geringer, Governor Sullivan, and all those governors who have passed. As I have read their State of the State speeches, those done in territory days, those in early statehood and today, those from Republicans and those from Democrats, through the tough times of our state and the tough times of our country, that would include world wars, Great Depression, the Cold War, a consistent theme jumps from the words that are now history. The theme is optimism and a strong-held belief that Wyoming's future will not be written just by whoever is in power in D.C. or what commodity prices are. It'll be written by you, by me, and the people of Wyoming. Wyoming's proud history, the men and women who gave us the state we love, did not move with timid measures or with judgment only for political party wins. They gave us this Wyoming by asking first and always what is best for Wyoming. to share the optimism we should all have in Wyoming, its future, and what we can do, I'll share with you the words of Governor Campbell, provided to the legislature in 1873. Here's what he says. The future of Wyoming is assured. We who have made our homes here know that we are living in a region of boundless wealth and inexhaustible resources, where labor and true endeavor are certainly and bountifully rewarded. But while this is the case, other territories with no natural advantages over our own, whose only superiority consists in the earnestness and ability displayed by their people in publishing to the world their advantages, are outstripping us in wealth and population. The mines are as rich, the plains as fertile, and the grasses as nutritious, the valleys as productive, the air as pure and health-giving, and the climate as salubrious, and the resources of Wyoming as varied as those of any other Rocky Mountain territories. There can be no question as to the ultimate wealth and prosperity of Wyoming. While your action or failure to act may retard, it cannot prevent the realization of some future day of the expectations of the most sanguine, but it is in your power to hasten the day. Great words in 1873 to the legislature. Great words today. Let us join together during this session to hasten the day. Let's embrace opportunities, right-size the budget of the executive branch, fund and endow recommendations, including workforce training, and continue to build on the vision and action of past and present leaders. By spending neither too much nor too little, by continuing to invest in the future of our state and economic diversification efforts, and by responsibly taking on education funding, we will serve the citizens of our state well this session. I want to close with a few additional thanks. First, to my staff. I cannot express strongly enough the gratitude and pride I have in my staff. No governor could ask for more. Thank you, staff, for the endless hours, days, and years of serving the state and providing me amazing service.
You've been listening to the governor's State of the State address from Wyoming PBS and Wyoming Public Radio.